start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We are at Buffalo's Cafe, Flowery Branch, guys, 3446 Winder Highway. And literally, when Mike and I came in, we already had listeners here meeting us and hanging out and looking to have a cocktail and have some conversation. We want to get a chance to see you guys here at Flowery Branch, guys. Again, Buffalo's Cafe, 3446. Look, we got a lot to talk about. Falcons scrimmage today. It was great to see. A lot of guys got in some good work. We'll tell you all about it as we get ready for our first preseason game. Right. But we have to start the show today with something completely different.
As Carl would say, a developing story.
My man Mike Bell came in today, and I said, hey, guys, at the bar, this is my buddy, this is Mike Bell, this is my partner. Yeah, man, Mike, what's going on? And Mike sits down at the bar, and he goes, I just got the worst haircut of my life. And I said, what are you talking about? Because he's got a nice hat on today. He's got a nice Masters hat on. I said, what are you talking about? And then you slowly took this hat off. Don't do it now. Don't do it. I don't want to see this haircut.
I know.
What in the hell happened?
All right. I have a bunch of professionals who cut my hair. Now, when I say professionals, I mean they're professional hair cutters. Like I'm going to a salon.
Okay.
I'm spending more than $25 for a haircut. But no, I went to a major chain. I'll leave the name. Out of it.
Out. Okay.
But it is a place I do frequent. So my name and my phone number were in the computer. Ergo, when they punch up my name, Mike B, a 3 on the side, about a 7 or 8 on the top,
okay.
And blend it.
Yes.
Not that complicated. I think black guys, white guys, whatever you're, it's a pretty simple haircut. Tight, high and tight on the side,
sure.
But blend it to the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make it look good. That doesn't look good.
Not good.
I got to tell you guys, and I love you,
oh.
But this hair, you took your hat off, and I was like, your left, your left, right, left.
How tall are you, private? 5'6", private. I don't know, they stacked it that high. 5'8" in heels. No, we went, I don't want to, again, won't name names, and I there was like three.
By the end of this show, you will.
No, I will not do this. They may be a sponsor at some point. They might have been a sponsor. But there were three ladies that were cutting hair. It was during lunchtime. And because practice ran a little late, well, it was a very spirited Falcons practice. It was a true, as best they can simulate at Flowery Branch,
agreed.
Game time scenario. And we'll talk about it because we saw a lot to break down for you guys today on the radio. But when I got up there, it was lunchtime, so there's a bit of a wait. But there were three young hair cutters, all under the age of 30. And there was one older lady. And but the clock was ticking. I got to be here by 1 to do show prep.
Sure.
And so she goes, Mike B. I'm like, that's me. Sit in the chair. She goes, so you want a 3 on the sides? Take a little off the top. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what I go, blend it.
You should have got up right there.
I go, just can you blend it? I go, where are you from?
I just got a call.
Because, you know, Carl, just like you, Day-Day, all the guys that work at our radio station, you're in this situation. Let's make a conversation. You know, hey, so where are you from?
Armenia.
I'm like, okay. I go, you ever go back?
Never.
Okay, well, the genocide would explain all that. So I'm like, I go, happen to any family here in the States?
California.
I'm like, oh, like the Kardashians.
No, I do not know the Kardashians.
Okay, so now strike 1, strike 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes to work, and this is the worst freaking haircut of my life. I think Forrest Gump got a better haircut. I think Matthew Modine got a better haircut in basic training. So no blend, no mix, no nothing. And then once she starts, you can't stop.
I'm dying over here.
I mean, it's a 3 that goes up to the top. I mean, it's like the only hair I have left, if I was Jewish, would be a yarmulke at this stage. So it's
just
bad.
Make it nice and neat.
Yeah,
yes.
It doesn't blend. And here's the thing, the irony of this is, so it's like $17 and you can tip. And I tipped $9 on the worst haircut of my life.
Which is the worst part of this.
Knowing because everybody in the service industry works
for
tips.
Got a tip.
So, yeah, I'm like, thank you for the terrible haircut. Here's, you know, a 70% tip.
It's the worst part of it. And here's the part about this, guys. We've all gone through this. And, Mike, I feel your pain right now. I really do.
I will eventually show you a photo on the Twitter
of
the haircut.
Yes, because people are going to go, that's not that bad. Yes, it is. But we've all been there where you've gotten a bad cut. And I'll say this, for black folk, when we go to the barber, man, we have one guy that we trust, one dude that we believe can
one
do.
One only.
You go to a new barber, especially as a black guy, you're like, yo, I don't know about this. We are very skeptical because you can screw us up one time, we're done. And literally, a lot of black barbers, just real talk, it's word of mouth. It's
right.
Now you got guys on Instagram doing all this stuff. But literally back in the day, you know this. It was like, all right, you've been to see your boy? Oh, man, he does a great job. Your haircut was your advertisement. And so that's how you got new customers. But you go one time and you screw up a haircut, you're never going back to that person.
No, and as I said, because of the chain, it's a national chain. They have it in your computer if you're a regular or semi-regular.
Sure.
I might have had a haircut down there in Fort Myers 15, 20 years ago.
What you're saying is it should have told her what you needed.
3 on the side, 7 on the top, fade and mix, blend. Yeah, I mean, this thing is so bad. It's, I mean, I look like a bad Armenian UFC fighter. And now here comes Khabib Bedeladov.
I mean, it's the worst haircut ever. It's just a little poofy on the top.
All right. I will, during the commercial break, I will post
right,
this now.
Fair enough.
Because,
I had to start there because I didn't. You know how sometimes I'll tell you guys this. Mike will say something and it'll be over exaggerated a little bit. He's like, "I get the worst haircut," and I was like, "Nah, come on, it's not that bad." And then he slowly took the top off of the hat, and I was like, "That is terrible."
By the way, my profile photo at Mike Bell ATL. That is the same hair cutting chain.
Yeah, that's a good look.
That was a cut in Naples, Florida.
Yeah.
But again, same chain. Just again, I should have just waited. Are you ready for your haircut?
I just got a phone call. I gotta go. You should have left right then.
So is this the way you cut the hair in Turkmenistan?
It's Dukes and Bell, guys. 404-726-0929. Hanging out again. We are at Buffalo's Cafe. Falcons putting in some work today. Here's the deal. A physical address again. 3446 Winder Highway up here, Flowery Branch. Bottom line, guys, is, and I'm going to start here, but we can go a lot of different places. We got a dude in Drake London. Look, Mike and I have been talking about a couple of guys over the last few weeks. James Pierce Jr., Drake, how impressed we've been with Michael Penix. I'm just telling you guys, and Mike said this yesterday, and you guys gave him crap about being the hype guy, you know, the Jerry Rice, to the Montana to Rice thing.
I went John Freaky, but he looked great today.
Mike.
He looks great every day.
He makes catches, again, when he's not supposed to. He is a killer. And I'm telling you, he makes catches over the top of guys, but behind them, he's taking balls away. And then he gets up and literally is like, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
There's nothing you can do about this. And that attitude, Mike, I love. He had a couple of big plays today. None bigger than, for me, when that – I think it was Michael Penix down the sidelines. It was an out route, a corner route. He threw it actually, it was Ray McLeod, but Penix threw it to Ray McLeod. But Penix had one in the end zone that they counted out of the end zone where he goes over the top of the DB. And it wasn't A.J. It was Mike Ford, I believe it was. He goes over the top of him. They end up out of bounds, but it's like, how did you even go get that ball?
He's in midair. The DB pushes him out of bounds. Now, here's the thing, though. We talk about moments when your heart's in your throat.
Uh-oh.
So he fully extends. He sells out because this is a real – I know you guys – I will go back. I may even delete the tweet about wanting to see the starters. This was about as hard as you can go.
I agree.
I know you just said prone to hyperbole. Honestly, Falcon fans, this is about as hard as you can go in a practice scenario, which means I cannot wait to see Tuesday and Wednesday when the Tennessee Titans come to Flowery Branch. But getting back to it, so Carl and I are on the sideline, and all of a sudden he goes down because he fully extends. And we literally had Darnell Mooney come down in the same fashion right in front of us. He kind of got knocked midair. So Drake hits the ground, and he's on the ground for an extended period. And the coaching staff, the players, the media, the fans, it's like, oh, don't tell me this is happening. He just lost his breath. He basically was, you know, hit the ground.
Yes.
So he lost his air. He got his air back. He's on his own feet. He's waving to the crowd. He's joking around with the players. Everybody's like, that's the season.
I totally agree.
That's the freaking season.
No, I totally agree. Look, because he's a difference maker.
Right.
We've talked about some of
these
guys.
I'll stop bellyaching about the preseason if they keep this intensity up the rest of the camp.
Oh, man, it was great. And by the way, the reason why Raheem Morris did this is because there are a lot of guys who are not going to get work on Friday.
Right.
So he wanted to make sure those guys were able to get work in today because there are a lot of starters who are not going to play. As far as what we saw in the scrimmage, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will talk about it throughout the course of the show. And you're also going to hear from Rook Arora coming up as the morning shift had a chance to visit with him. We talked to Tyler Algier today. Love this dude. We have loved him since he got drafted.
He's one, you know what? I always say, like, Ozzie Albies is my – maybe because I'm short. I go for the short – I root for the short dudes. But Tyler Allgeier, never heard a peep. And we know – and I think most Falcon fans know this guy could start for almost any team in the NFL, especially a team looking for a running back. And this is a contract year. But his dedication to this team, it's amazing.
I agree. Jalen played today. And now, we've told you we hadn't talked a lot about Jalen Walker simply because he's been limited. He did play. He is expected to play Friday. Xavier Watts, the safety we drafted, also played today. Played with some ones, played with some twos. We mean first team, second team. But he is also expected to play on Friday. And then the other thing, Mike, is when we talk about, you know, this defense, and this is not a knock on Kirk Cousins, by the way. We're just telling you what happened. Cousins today was playing with the second team. That's been the norm in practice.
Right.
Second team offense goes out. They're going up against second team defense, in some cases first team defense. But the first play, first pass he throws, it's a Leonard Floyd interception, pick six. Floyd reads it perfectly. It was supposed to be like a little screen pass.
He breaks it up in the flat.
Yeah, and Floyd plays it well, and the running back gets caught up, and all of a sudden Kirk Cousins tried to lob it up, and Floyd goes up, grabs it, picks it off. Everybody's like, ooh. Guys, Leonard Floyd is going to be a playmaker again for this team. And, you know, we had a chance to talk to his trainer. If you missed that interview, he came in studio last week and talked to us about some of the training techniques. Floyd is a player, man. He's going to be a big help for us, but he made a play today. But that was Cousins' first throw. Although Cousins went 7-for-9, if you're keeping stats, looked good, you know, when he got back out there. But it was one of those mistakes, Mike, where you go, we need more of that on defense, man.
Right.
We need more of that.
Cousins looks better than he ever looked last year at practice that we got to see, and maybe through the first 4 weeks of the season, although, of course, the cover behind against Philly looked pretty good.
Sure.
But he looks good setting the action with his footwork and everything else. Penix Jr., high risk, high reward. Don't know how much of what we saw today will happen in the regular season, but, Carl, they were really pushing it downfield. The best throw of the day, throw and catch, Darnell Mooney, 50 yards inside, what, I think the 10-yard line?
Ray McLeod.
Sorry, Darnell's out of practice right now with the injury. Ray McLeod, number 34, makes this unbelievable catch that would have been totally in bounds. And, I mean, it was every even on the jaded media is going, ooh, look at that. That was something.
It was, I mean, look, sometimes it's hard to describe because you need the visual. But I will tell you.
Ooh, that was pretty.
Imagine just a ball being thrown up. And you're watching it in slow motion like NFL films.
Is he going to get there? Can he catch up to it?
And it's coming down, and there's only one place that the ball can land and that the receiver can get it. And Ray was in that. It was in that spot, and like it was it literally pick a spot on the field, and Penix hit it 35, 40 yards down the field. It was a beautiful ball. I totally agree. Hey, man, we got a lot to get to. We're coming back. We are live at Buffalo's Cafe talking about the Falcon scrimmage today.
In Flowery Branch.
Yes, sir. We'll get you caught up on some headlines and also Rook Oro, who stopped by with the morning shift. It's all on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Haircut of my life.
So can I sue the barber over it?
Ah! What the heck, man?
Well, it depends on a few things.
Number one,
if it's clearly a bad haircut, then yes, you can sue over emotional distress, but it would have to be a bad haircut. I mean an outrageously bad haircut, like moving your hairline to the top of your head, something not even a mother could love.
Honey, I'm home. What happened to the back of your head?
I can explain.
Ooh, yeah, I'm gonna go get a carton of milk and never come back.
No, wait.
Dukes and Bell, we are live at Buffalo's Cafe Flower Branch. The reason why Oren is playing that is because Mike received a bad haircut today. He's not happy. Have you posted this yet, sir?
I'm in the process right now.
I mean, look, I don't mean to laugh at you. I'm laughing with you, okay? I want you to know that because every time you take that hat off and you were like, is it really that bad? And I couldn't help but laugh, and then you snapped that picture, so I apologize.
Yeah, it's a bad haircut. I told Carl, it's a devil's – in the word of Beck, Oren's playing in the background, got a devil's haircut in my mind.
We have tickets for you guys, Georgia Tech. We gave a pair away yesterday. It's the Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic, Friday, November 28th. We'll give you a chance to win those between now and 6 o'clock as we broadcast live up here in Flowery Branch, guys, Buffalo's Cafe. Hey, real quick, want to mention this. Carolina Panthers corner, J.C. Horn, was in a car accident today.
Jeez Louise, on his way to practice?
Yeah, received stitches in his left thumb area. No one was injured, had to go to the hospital, but Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, said he was not going to practice today. Apparently, Cleveland's in town for those joint practices because they're going to be their first preseason game. He did not participate in that today, and they hope that he's ready for next week's preseason game against the Texans. But just good to hear that nobody was injured, man. But, yeah, freak stuff, man. And it happened by the stadium. It happened over by the stadium where they
What are they doing up there in Carolina? Because remember Cam Newton got that famous SUV wreck or his pickup truck got rolled?
Pickup truck, yeah.
Back in the day. So come on, you Carolinians. I mean, geez Louise, you driving angry up there?
Crazy, man.
You ain't angry about anything up there.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's a big-time player for him, Pro Bowl player at corner. So wish him nothing but the best, man. But, yeah, that's good news to hear that nobody got injured. Hey, man, coming up, you're going to hear Rook Arooro. Mike has talked a lot about him, the expectations for Rook coming into this season. He stopped by the morning shift, and you'll hear what he had to say about the D-line and more. We're talking a lot about today's scrimmage. It was, as Raheem said, trying to get as much work in for those guys who are not going to play on Friday. And you saw the starters. If you guys were there on the hill today, you saw a lot of the starters playing one-on-one, first team taking on the second team and vice versa. There was a lot of mixing and matching. Mike, and I'll say this. If you're trying to figure out, because at one point I was talking to one of our media friends and we were discussing this, if you're trying to figure out who the starters are right now, don't. Like, they're playing different guys. For example, Billy Bowman and Mike Ford got run with the first team today. Does that mean they're the starters on the first team defense? Like, hard, Mike, to see what they're trying to get accomplished when you start to see these rotations right now.
You know, you and I were talking about this on the sideline today. I do think they see the same things you and I see in Billy Bowman.
Yes.
And they want to get some reps with the first team. And that's like, remember, guys, when you're in junior high school or high school, you know, if you're showing out for the coaching staff, you're going to get some of those reps with the first unit. And I think that's what we saw with Billy Bowman. It was great to see Jalen Walker out there today. Pierce continues to pop. We talked about, I thought Leonard Floyd, a sack for Leonard Floyd, a sack for Pierce, maybe more. It's tough because, you know, they'll stop the whistle, they'll blow it. But the play continues because you're not taking the quarterback, whether it's Cousins or Penix Jr., to the ground, obviously. But I thought the defensive front looked great today.
Yeah, and our boy Matthew Bergeron, who ironically Ryan Neuzel told us yesterday, he's the guy, right? Bijan told us as well.
Feisty.
He's the guy. So there was a moment early in the scrimmage where Bijan had the ball, and he got taken to the ground. And the old lineman did not appreciate it. And Bergeron was the main dude in there. And I heard him say, "Do not take him to the ground." And he's yelling at the D lineman. And you were like, okay, I see what Neuzel was talking about. I see what Bijan was talking about.
Right.
And, you know, the defensive guys are like, he tripped. You know, they're like, we ain't trying to hurt our man. And they're going back and forth. But Bergeron was in the middle of that thing.
And Coach Rob was kind of digging it because Coach Rob's kind of like runs over. Remember, do not tackle Bijan.
That's
being tongue-in-cheek.
That's right.
But he was running over by – he was saying that to the offensive side, to the defense on the other side. But Coach Rob was having some fun today. It was, as we said, guys, all we can do – and it's funny because Wes and you and I had this conversation off the air the other day talking about it with Arch today. Don't want to mislead you guys. Just tell you what we see. But there were some good things. This was about as feisty – said feisty on Twitter – but we don't say X, a practice I've seen in a while, because maybe I'll walk back to things. I understand, yes, it still sucks for the consumer that you're paying for preseason games. You won't see the starters. But if you're lucky enough to be up here today at practice, you got a hell of a show.
Yeah, I just think it's hard, Mike. For example, we'll use Drake. Drake, you're going to get two series on Friday. You're going to tell him not to go 100%? He can't. No. That's not how he's built. So when you throw him the ball, Mike, he may go up for one of these balls and try to high point it, and all of a sudden, to your point, comes down wrong, and now it's a bad situation. So I understand it. I get it. I don't like it. But that's why today was good. I think next week with the work they'll do with the Titans will be good. And then I do believe this, guys. I do think in the second preseason game you'll probably see some more of the starters, but you may not see all of them. And then we're going to get to the third preseason game, and you're trying to set your roster and figure things out as we get ready for the season. You're probably not going to see any of these guys. So I'm thinking, Mike, right now the second preseason game is where you might see more of our starters. But we'll wait to see. I mean, that's going to be Raheem's and the front office's decision. Hey, man, we got to talk about some other things that are going on. As I mentioned, Rook's on the way. Coming up next hour, our conversation with Tyler Allgeier as he talks about this offense being different, and he almost gives us the reason why. Stay tuned to hear that. But Big O back in the studio, man. Let's get to the Daily Download. Well, Braves lose again, 7-2 to the Brewers last night.
Didn't have to sweat that one, did you?
No, it was
bases loaded.
It was over.
And they just can't punch him in. Profar was horrible last night.
He was terrible.
Profar misses a play in left field and then just, you know, has a golden opportunity to make do at the plate, couldn't get it done. So, I mean, again, we're just still getting to know him, but that was a bad night for just Yerkes' Profar.
Yeah, here's the thing. Striking out is one thing. The play in the field, unexcusable. you got to make that play. Like to misjudge that ball as badly as he did, I'm like, what are you watching? Right. Eli White, 2-for-4, solo home run. Game 3 of the series tonight, and it's Spencer Strider. But, look, bottom line is that they're just at the plate. We continue to strike. It doesn't matter who we throw out there.
And, by the way, if Eli White stays on this pace, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. The games are meaningless. The pressure's off. But if Eli White keeps doing that, then maybe Drake Baldwin sits, and if you want to get Ronald out there, Ronald DHs.
Okay.
I don't like either. Yeah. You know, Carl and I
don't want him in the field at all.
Again, there's no reason to play Acuna. There's no reason to play Austin Riley, Chris Sale. Season's over. Again, I don't want the Braves to get mad at me. Not to discourage you from going to a game, a day at the ballpark is a day at the ballpark.
Exactly. It doesn't mean that you won't be entertained.
It just is what it is. There's no reason to risk injury for guys that are injury prone. Not that Riley is, but we don't want him to linger into next season.
I totally agree, man. Meanwhile, here's an interesting story that was written by our buddy Ken Segura, and some people are reacting to it. Some of the national folks who have no idea what the hell's going on down here are trying to run with it. And I just want to mention this because when you start writing stuff like this, people think it's actually going to happen. And Ken Segura put out, you know, in this article in the AJC talking about what if Kirk Cousins is actually better than Michael Penix. Let me tell you guys a secret. He should be. He's got 13 years experience in the National Football League. He's been a starter a lot longer than Michael Penix. He should be. But that is just creating controversy, Mike, that is not there. And then his comment is, well, right now the Falcons have no choice but to move forward with Penix. Yes, we knew that last season. But, Mike, when you start to go down this road, there is no controversy, guys. We can tell you firsthand. We're talking to everybody. We've been there every damn day. There's no controversy. Matter of fact, Cousins, as we said, has been a good citizen about this whole situation. But when we saw this, people were like, well, what's going on? Is there a controversy? Is there a quarterback? No, there isn't.
And by the way, don't want to knock Ken. Ken's a good dude. But if he was only there Friday, Penix didn't have a great day Friday.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen Penix since day one this year and last year. Penix was – Friday was not a great day for him. He had some bad looks. He had some reaches. Today he missed some throws. But they were going vertical. And with vertical passes, it's high risk, high reward. I saw more passes than fails. He on the crossing route to Drake, we talked about that amazing throw to Ray McLeod today. But, I mean, if you're only there one – again, I'm not telling Ken how to do his job, but if you're going to write a column after looking at one practice, that's not how it works. And then the problem is for the national – again, we don't care. We know what we've got. Let the national media say what they want. But when national media picks up on it, all of a sudden now it gets legs, just like the pre-draft stuff. How do we hear that James Pierce doesn't love football? Some silly story that was miswritten gets rebroadcast and requoted, and then you realize, no, this guy's a killer. So I would take a pause on that one, but that story's going to get halfway around the world that, oh, Penix is going to – Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. He does look better than he did last year because he's a year removed now from the injury.
Yeah, physically, no doubt
I mean,
about it.
That's a fact. I'm not going to deny Kirk Cousins looks better, but we're not going backwards here. Penix is the QB.
Yeah, and when we say better, we're talking about better from where he was last year, not better than Michael Penix per se. I don't know if Cousins can make the throw that Penix threw today, Mike. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, there's more RPMs, and yes, there's also an adjustment period. It's not like it's a different football, but the left-handed football is coming at you backwards, I suppose. I don't know. However, I guess it's like catching a ball in Australia, Carl, the way it's spinning.
Hey, man, hit us up, 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. There is a lot going on today. Our interview coming up here next hour. But when we come back, Rook Oro. And what is his expectation for the upcoming season? Find out as he stopped by the morning shift next. Dukes and Bell live from Buffalo's Cafe. Guys, come out and hang out with us. Got to give a big shout out to Matt Ward and his son who stopped by earlier. They are listeners, and Matt and his son came in and we're hanging out. Good to meet you guys. And we got a bunch of guys at the bar here hanging out as well. Savannah's at the bar. She can take care of you. Come through, man. 3446 Winder Highway is where we're at. Hey, coming up, 3 o'clock hour, we'll get you caught up around the NFL and what's going on. Also, our conversation with Tyler Allgeier. But before we get to that, Rook Oro, stop by the morning shift. We expect big things out of Rook. And the first thing Mike Johnson and Bo and Allie asked him was the comparisons of what he's doing here with this defense compared to what he did at Clemson. And does it feel familiar?
Yeah, it's pretty much similar. You know, just be aggressive up front, linebackers flow off of, and we just all play off each other. We feed off each other, and we're just trying to make plays in the backfield.
That being said about it, do you feel like it kind of fits your style of play, where you're at as a defensive lineman, more than you maybe did last year?
Yeah, I would say I definitely prefer this a little more just because, you know, you could use your athleticism. You don't have to think as much. You just get upfield and you play your box as they come.
We are joined by Rook Arororo live from Falcons training camp out in Flowery Branch on the morning shift. What is your experience here at training camp this year versus your rookie year?
I would say this year it's not new. You know, when stuff is new, it could kind of be, I wouldn't say overwhelming, but you've never done it before. So just the unknown, but now it's not unknown. I know the coaches, I'm familiar with the way practice goes, and just knowing that I've done it before and just to go out there and do it again now, this time at a higher level, it's just even much more better, especially that I'm not a rookie no more. So,
well, let's talk about that defense line room a little bit. Obviously the departure of Grady Jarrett, Eddie Goldman, you step into a little bit more of a veteran role. Talk to us about the personalities in that room, because from the outside, you know, looking at the fact that they obviously trust in Brandon Dorlus, Braylon Trice, some of the second year guys did not replace some of the departures, and so they obviously expect you guys to step into that. But talk to us about the leadership, yourself, David Onyemata, some of those other guys.
Definitely, yeah, we got some really good vets in the room. Street, he's on year 8. You got Fox and O, they're on year 10. So just having guys that's been playing at a high level, it's hard to stay in this league for a long time, and those guys have been there for a long time. And so with a lot of young guys in the room, it's a great mix because you can learn so much from them. Like, we're always asking questions to them, and they have the answer to every single question because they've seen every block, they've played every block, and they've played a ton of snaps. So why not get all that knowledge from them?
Yeah, and I wondered that too with Morgan Fox coming over. It seems like he's played a little bit of head up five, you know, the 4-eye, B-gap. You are kind of modeled that way, where you can do a little bit of everything up and down the line of scrimmage. What do you prefer to do? Do you prefer to be out over the offensive tackle? You like getting in any of that A-gap work against the big fellas inside? Where do you prefer to be at?
Me, I'll play anywhere, honestly. Just as long as my hand in the dirt and I'm going out there to play football, you can put me from a 0 to a 9 and I'll play it.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
I love
it. Now, Root, one of us in this room is the enemy for you because this guy played offensive line here and then in Alabama. So when you're moving all over the line, and it's really especially when you go against the other ones, is there a guy that maybe you either want to go against because of sharpening, or you kind of like going against, or don't want to go against?
I like going against all the guys, especially in the interior. You know, we got Chris Lindstrom, we got Bergeron, and they're two different players. So you get work different ways and different sides. You know, one has a bigger body, and not, to me, one's more fast. And so just getting that work and mixing it in from both great guys, you know, it's really good for me and my development.
Joined here by Rook Arororo on the morning shift. All right, Nate Oley comes to town. This is a guy that's been across the league. He's done some pretty good things. How's your time been so far working with him? Because he's gotten some guys up to speed in this league.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely been fun, man. He's bringing a lot of energy. He's the same every day. He's consistent, and we feed off of that energy. We go out there, and we play hard, and he coaches hard, and that, he demands a lot from us, and that's great. As a competitor, you want a lot to be demanded from you because it brings so much more stuff out of you that you didn't even know you had. So it's been really good working with him.
And since we're at training camp, we got to know, who are you rooming with?
Shoot, it's me, Trice, Brandon, and Simeon.
Yeah. All right, who is controlling the aux? Who brought a console? What's the vibe in there?
If I'm being honest, I don't even hear none of them. Like, sometimes I come home, everybody's door closed, and like, it doesn't even feel like anybody's home, if I'm being honest. We leave at different times. I wake up and nobody's there, but I always see them at work. So, yeah.
I love it.
That seems like a pretty good group. All right, we'll finish up with this. Rook Arororo, defensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk about the vibes out at practice. Now, a lot has been made about James Pierce and the fights and the chaos that comes with that. Now, when you see a rookie like a James Pierce start to square up with another guy, all right, do you run in blindly as like, oh, that's a defense, like I got to have his back? Or do you run in there and you're like, yo, Rook, calm down. That's a good dude. Matthew Bergeron's a good dude. Like, how do you kind of balance that as you fly in to try to help separate things?
Me personally, I just run in there, one, because I just want to see the vibes. You know, if it's a one-on-one, let it be that. If more people jump in, I'm going to be right there with my boys. But honestly, man, when you're in the trenches, it gets physical, man. You know how it goes. Yeah. You're in the trenches, it gets physical, sparks fly. And sometimes you got to duke it out a little bit and shake hands at the end of the day and be best friends right in the locker room again. So it's all fun and games. It's all good, man. And I'm really excited.
That is Rook Arororo with the morning shift. And Mike, you know, he is a guy, again, that says he feels more familiar with the system.
Right.
the defensive guys up front have been talking about this being an attacking style defense, which, again, we alluded to yesterday for you guys, saying, hey, less thinking, more getting after it, right? Let's stop thinking about where we need to be, and Rook does like that. And if you're asking us, okay, so how's his camp been? Hard to tell.
Yeah, because in the interior of the line, not trying to make excuses, it's sometimes more difficult. And sometimes it's from vantage point, because sometimes when they're doing 11 on 11, we're maybe shielded by the guys on the bench, so, or what would be the bench, so you can't see it. But, you know, he is still, as I said, I'm not trying to harp on it, I'm just stating facts. When you move up to get a guy, you consider him one of the top 40 players. He was drafted 35th overall. Is he popping enough?
So,
guys asked me literally today at the bar, and I said, I really like Rook. You just heard what a likable guy he is in the conversation.
Sure.
Is he jumping off what we're watching? Maybe not.
I'll say this. There are times, especially in the interior D-line, where you're taking on a double team, okay, on a running play.
You're doing the dirty work.
Correct. And you don't get moved, but yet the linebacker is able to make a play, or somebody else on your D-line is able to slide in and fill the gap. You're doing your job. And doing your job sometimes, especially for those guys, is a little misleading, because we can rate a James Pierce Jr. or a Jalen Walker differently coming off the edge when they don't get pressures or sacks.
Right.
I can't tell you if Rook gets double teamed, Mike, 16 times in a game and he held his own and we're able to slow down their run game and he was a big reason because of it, but yet he didn't make the tackles. He was in on some tackles, but he didn't have, you know, 9 solos.
But if he disrupts it, Caden Ellis cleans up, then mission
accomplished.
Correct.
Right. So it's hard sometimes to determine that. And I'm just saying that you want to get into the minutia of it. Like, that's what we're talking about here. That's why you need those big guys up front to be the ground, you know, the groundbreaking guys,
right,
as far as being able to hold their ground and make sure that other guys are able to flow. But if you're asking me, has he been in on numerous pressures or sacks? No, he hasn't.
No,
that hasn't happened.
But that goes back to you and I debating about the 4-3 versus the 3-4. Yes, you're in nickel so much, so it's kind of negligible. I just like – I don't know, Carl, maybe it's just watching the Falcons over the years. Fell in love with the bomb squad in 98. I like a 4-3. You know, I thought we were always better in a 4-3. But the personnel for the 3-4, you've got to have some really big dogs. That's why I always felt Grady was kind of miscast in that defense.
Sure.
But Rook is a huge guy. And Zach Harrison kicking inside, that's a big body right there. But Rook, there's a lot expected from him. So it might not translate, as Carl just pointed out, on the stat sheet. And that's why I don't want to say anything like, I'm not going to say he's a butt. That's ridiculous. He's only played 8 games in his NFL career.
No.
But there's expectations, though. For instance, they moved up. They move up a lot in the second round under Terry Fontenot. They moved up to get Bergeron. Matthew Bergeron has been a stud.
He has.
And they moved up to get Rook. And we're waiting to see. And maybe surrounded by better talent, we will find out. But there's a part of me that thinks some of these guys would be better off in a 4-3, but that doesn't matter. Not what we're doing.
Yeah, because I think, you know, part of this is Jeff Ulbrich came in and they evaluated that. Look, Ra has run both. I think Jeff Ulbrich has been in both situations where
right.
they've run 3-4 or 4-3. You come in, Mike, and you look at the personnel and you say, what fits us best? And then you try to do whatever that is. And I think that's why there's going to be a combination of both of those defenses. And you're going to see a little bit of both. But look, the judgment on Rook is still out. I do expect big things of him because I have seen this. This is why I'm positive on Rook. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're broadcasting live from Buffalo's Cafe, guys, in Flower Branch. More NFL conversation coming up. We'll tell you what's going on around the league here in 4th and 1 on the way. But I've seen him push people around. And I saw that last year in real games where he was moving people and moving the pile. He didn't play enough to see the dividends of that because he got injured. But I saw that enough to feel good about where he's going. Now, Mike, they may be asking him to do something different. And he talked about it. Maybe instead of me just holding guys off and pushing guys around, maybe I'm getting upfield now and I'm attacking in a different way. So we'll see. I hope that he is a difference maker. But the guys that have needed to pop, for the most part, the guys, especially the rookies, Mike, we've
right.
seen a bunch of those guys do that with some of the plays they've already made here in practice.
No, we talked about the job that Raheem did. You know, Sean McVay, the Rams did a 3-4. Wade Phillips, you know, was his DC. You're talking about going back to Sean McVay's early years with the Rams, and then, you know, went through some different changes. But it is interesting to see, you know, how, you know, Raheem Morris, and they changed some of the perspective and how they do it. Now, again, it doesn't matter because you are in that nickel, and you said it earlier in the week, like the dime package so much, because so many situations are throwing situations. Just play to your strengths. But I do I am envious. I do look at what the Rams have right now. They got studs in their front seven. You know, we think we've got
drafted,
some studs.
Drafted.
And we think we've got some studs, but we just it's really imperative, and again, bringing it back to the conversation we just replayed with Rook, that Rook is that disruptive force, that Rook plays like one of the top 50 guys in that 2024 NFL draft.
404-726-0929. That's the number for you to hit us up, as well as for you to text us. Tyler Algier on the way, as Mike and I spent some time with him today. He had a really good scrimmage today, by the way, as the Falcons did scrimmage. If you're going, hey, what happened in practice? All around pretty good day, man. I thought the effort and the energy was good.
Real game situation. They even had like a mini halftime.
They did. He made them go in. Get out. Get off the field. Because you're trying to get real simulated work in, and you can't do that through individual drills and hitting dummies, man. You got to go live, and you got to be on guys. I love the
You mean the robot tackling dummies we saw 10 years ago didn't work?
Well, they work, but it's not game situation. I love to see the offensive linemen coming off the field and talking to each other about what they were seeing out there. And
right.
It felt like, again, a real game from that standpoint, because the D-line was doing some things. They were stunts that were happening, and that was kind of cool as well. But as far as the scrimmage today, good work, man. And I thought the offense, if you're asking, who won, Dukes? Offense did a good job. There were plays on the defense. Again, Leonard Floyd had a pick six. I mean, like, there were plays all the way around.
And we got to see, you know, we talked about, you know, Jalen Walker out there, number 11. A lot of guys were asking me today at the bar. We got here. We're at Buffalo's Cafe here at Flowery Branch. Come on down, join the party. It's funny, but Pierce, I mean, is he in the middle of every scrum? Because guys were asking us, one of the guys at the bar today goes, is he going to be a liability?
No.
And you and I were joking around. He's not going to be Draymond Green. I mean, I just think, I mean, I'd like to think he's not going to be that same guy in the regular season, because that's 15 yards. That hurts.
Now you're costing.
And that's first downs.
Yeah.
And we've seen enough of those over our years on third down. But as Falcon fans, but I just think he brings an intensity. And I do think the coaches are allowing it to progress. And it will evolve. But I think they love what he's bringing, because he keeps everybody on their toes. Right?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Look, he's not kicking people in the balls, okay?
No, this is not John Matuszak or Lyle Alzado.
Yes, okay? This is not wrestling, okay? I mean, like, I want to be clear about this. When we talk about him starting stuff, either he's upset because somebody has grabbed his face mask or had a hand to his face or something like that, and then it escalates. But then it's over. I mean, like, we're not talking about throwing punches and all that kind of stuff. The point is, though, the intensity for not allowing anything to be put over on him is what we're dealing with. Like, if I don't like something, I'm going to let you know about it. And I've said all along, like, this gets back to my phrase, we don't have enough killers on this team. Those are the kind of guys that I want. I want an intensity, Mike, that comes with how you play. And then, oh, by the way, he's backing it up. That's the other way. He's backing it up.
No, I mean, the thing is about Pierce, you'll hear our conversation coming up with Tyler Algier. We even asked Tyler about him, because just to get his perception from being in the offensive backfield. But, I mean, we don't want to, like, oversell it. But as Carl said, I think you said this on the show at Hooters on Monday, he's a factor. Every day he's involved in something, and he's getting pressure on the quarterback. He would have had 2 sacks minimum today.
Today, yeah, he would have. Hey, man, we got a lot more to dive into. Coming up, 4th and 1s on the way. Keenan Allen back with his old team. Also, the tweet.
Hashtag fantasy football killer.
The tweet, yeah, and he killed me a couple of years ago. The tweet from Dak Prescott about his teammate.
Ooh.
What was he insinuating? It's Dukes and Bell.